In reference to that hymn, there's a challenge that I guess that I want you to try to recognize. I'm sorry, that just came out as if pedantically, as if I'm talking from a position that you don't know. Sorry. But there's something about that hymn that I think is, we need to recognize. It's saying that it's all going to happen after we die. And when we get into that mindset, we miss something. That the calling, as in verse 6 of Ephesians 2, it actually says past tense, seated. And he raised us up past tense, up with him, and seated us past tense with him in the heavens. It's all past tense. It's not future sense in the by and by when we get there after we die. It's here and now that he wants us to enter into his kingdom. That's why elsewhere it talks about agonize to enter. It's not agonize to die to enter into eternity and so enter into the kingdom of the dead, heaven, which is then eternal. Yes, we want to enter that. That is our calling in terms of eternal life, but he wants us to enter eternal life now. That's why we're called to live in Christ now. That's the call. That's his purpose. Because he wants you, as it mentions here in chapter 1, to administer his graces in this world to those who don't know him. We're not set apart to cast judgment over everybody and condemn the world. It's already condemned because of its working in Satan. If you think that's too extreme, again, if you don't know it, I've mentioned it many times, but the word Satan means adversary. So when the Islamic people, the extremists over in the East or Middle East talk about America as the great Satan, they're talking about America as the great enemy who has been bombing and all this other stuff and all the political machinations that go on that have been causing problems over there that are so complex and probably even getting some of you to react inside with, oh, now, you know, so America is the evil thing and I agree with the Muslims or the extreme Muslims. No, please don't misunderstand. But I'm just saying that's the way of the world. That's the kingdom of the world that has been ever since Adam and Eve turned from the wisdom of God to the wisdom of Satan, of the adversary. And so we have that wisdom of good and evil going on in this world, that our governments live by that law. That's the sword and trying to accomplish things according to our human will, setting our minds on physical things rather than on heavenly things. And so this is the calling, to turn from that wisdom to the wisdom of God that Adam and Eve lived in before they turned and accepted the wisdom of Satan. And this is the challenge, because we keep thinking of physical things around us. It's so hard not to, when it's on the news every day, it's in all of the media around us all the time, as we listen to it on the radio all day long. We can't help but start thinking like that. It's just inundating us all the time. And so we can't help but think, as those who don't believe is our adversary, they're Satan, they're the devil, the devil means slanderer. They're slandering us, and they're, you know, all that kind of stuff. Of course, because they're under that kingdom. Now, the question is, are we under that kingdom? Am I doing those things? Or am I seated in the heavenly places in Christ and performing the administration that he has called me to do? And that is the call. That was the call to you when he touched your heart and called you to turn to him individually, whatever experience that has been. That was his call, to give that up, that whole kingdom of the wisdom of good and evil, and accept this wisdom of his kingdom that was eternal before Adam and Eve, and that he wants you to enter into and live right now. And then you are seated, you are right now living in the heavens. You have already entered the great by and by, here and now, in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead. And when you entered in to the baptism in water as a pledge of your good conscience to God, that you accept his calling and you offer your whole being, your body as it goes into the water, but also your soul, your heart, your whole being to that kingdom of eternal life, of good, of sacrificial love of Christ, you are rising out of that dead kingdom where your spirit was dead to the wisdom of sacrificial love of Christ. You gave that up. It died in the water. That dead spirit died there. Not in the water, but you get my point. It died in your confession that this is what I'm doing with my whole being. I'm giving that up. I'm dying to who I was before this time, before I converted to you, before doing this physically now. I've died to my adversarial being. I've gone into this to prove, to show to the world, to show to my congregation that I give that up. And I'm being raised by the pastor, helping lift me out of this water, just as God, I'm depending on God, my Father in Christ, by his Spirit, to lift me up out of that dead kingdom, to live this kingdom of life, of sacrificial life, towards this world, just as God in Christ has done it towards me. It is that graciousness that we have received in our profession that we are called to by entering it, to live it, to be it. Just as God's word name means Yahweh, means being, or as Jesus put it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That is the being. That is the life that we're called to be to the world. As Jesus said, you are, to the disciples, you are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, came in, but he came to give that light to his disciples so that they could be the light of the world. And so as it says here, the outcalled who have been called out of that old world into this new kingdom, become that light and that life. And so we become the salt and light in this world that preserves it from absolute extinction in the condemnation or the wrath of God, as it mentions here in chapter 2, verses, let me just start at verse 1. And you, now you see he's going back here, he's just talked about Jesus, who has been talked about his all that prayer that occurred at the beginning. He talks about at the very end, and what is the surpassing that we may see this inheritance, we may get it, this inheritance in us. And what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us who believe? All of this is in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought it about in Christ when he, God, raised Christ, Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavens, or in the heavenly places. And then down in verse 1 of chapter 2, it starts out, and you, in the same way, just as Jesus died, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Jesus died into our trespasses and sins, bearing them on him. But we died, or were dead in our trespasses and sin, and sins, in which we formerly walked according to the way of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, even as everybody else in the world. You see, when we disobey that law of God of sacrificial love, that is life, that's how life expresses itself, giving itself, himself, to others, to live, just as God, being, gave being to the whole creation. All that we've ever heard about in scientific investigation, all the astronomical investigations, all of this that way beyond we know now and can ever imagine knowing, all of it is by God's being, giving all of this into being. So much beauty, even cactuses and flowers, like down in the deserts down south, that come out and flower only in the middle of the night. No one ever sees them, except, you know, when they discover them and stay up and watch for that once a year or once in a number of years when it happens to come out that night. And it's just God's love of just beauty that he just gave all of this being because he just wanted to express himself as life, as eternal life, in the same spirit, in the same spirit. He did the same in creating you and me, in having us born through our parents. He expressed us by his spirit in creating and giving life as we have descended. And it's that kind of preciousness, that kind of giving of himself, that he calls you and me to participate in, to share in the administration of life to one another, especially, as Jesus said, it's by your love they will know that you are my disciples. It's by your sacrificial expression of God's love towards us that you prove to be disciples when you do that among each other and beyond to the whole world. When you, instead of condemning somebody or judging somebody for something they're doing wrong, you call them and show them there's another way. And even if they won't hear that over and over again, if you keep living it, just the light of your life, just that salt that burns away at things that are dying, causes people to find out, this doesn't feel right. There's something different here. And it keeps on thoughts, ways you express yourself, mannerisms. You're not perfect and you're honest about that. Not hiding things like that. Admitting your weaknesses and carrying on. All of that is salt and light. Because when you admit your weakness, you admit the judgments upon you. You confess your sin before them and before God. You agree, that's what the word confession means also, is to admit to God, but also to one another, that you've sinned, that you've done something harmful. And so that's what we're called into, to express this to one another in our relationships with one another, no matter how strained they get to accept your cross in that moment, which is to bear one another's sins, as Paul wrote. To bear the sins of one another so that you may give life to one another and be raised out of that moment into another expression of peace, of the manifestation of the sacrificial love of God among us, into peace and mercy and compassion and understanding and a willingness to weep with those who weep, to mourn with those who mourn, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to give praise with others who give praise, to share life together with that the aim that we all participate somehow together. That's this awesome calling. I could stop now. But let me carry on a little bit more. In Revelation 12, this gives you a little bit more of an expression of the condition that we're in right now. In verse 10, I want to start in verse 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and the angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. Notice now who the dragon is identified as. Verse 9, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, meaning the slanderer, and Satan, meaning the adversary, who deceives the whole world, he was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority, the out of being of his Christ, his anointed, his Messiah, have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, cast down, who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word or message, of their testimony. And they did not sacrificially love their own souls, their life, even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil, the slanderer, has come down to you, having great wrath, visually knowing that he has only a short time. You see that, do you get that whole thing now that I've expressed those definitions and described a little bit of what's been going on? Do you see that going on around you? Do you see it in your own life? If you don't, ask God. If your body, and I speak from my own experience, of course, if you find the passion of your own presence, your own being, your own body, rising up in anger, in frustration, that you want to reach out and just do something to change this. Ask God, when you recognize, ask him to show you that you're doing that. Ask him, as it says in John, I keep mixing the two chapters up, it's either 14 or 16. I think it's 16, John 16. Where he talks about when the Spirit comes, he will convict you of sin, righteousness, or sins. Oh gosh, Lord. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. The judgment because he's no longer here. to manifest that judgment for us. Ask that His Holy Spirit to convict you of that in yourself. In every moment. And when He does, ask, admit, confess your need in that moment. Give your being to Him for life. And wait, as says all through the Old, all through the Psalms, wait for Him to fulfill. If you don't feel it at the moment, leave where you are, if you can. If you can't, shut up and wait. Shut up and listen. Sorry. But that's what I sometimes have to say to myself. Often, I should say sometimes. Have to say to myself, shut up and listen to Him. Settle down. Let go. Wait. Wait. It's in the stillness of your own being God will manifest. Be still and know. Experience that I am God, He says. Then you will experience within you everything die. All that rage die. Just fall out. And as Jesus said to the disciples when at the 70, after He sent them out, and they came back to Him and said, Lord, we can't believe it. We went out and we saw demons subject to us. They don't even say, we threw demons down by your name. We cast them out in your name. It doesn't say that. We just saw that the demons were subject to us. It's when we walk in that light, if I do, I'm sorry, I'm going to give an experience because it blew me away when it happened. I was at the United Church College down in Toronto. God sent me there. I know why now. There were a lot of things I needed to turn from, and He showed me. But while I was in seminary there, I was walking across the street down by Queen's Park, and as I came over to out of Queen's Park and walked up the street there back to the residences, this man came over to me. He was obviously from the streets, and he fell down in front of me, and he started asking me for mercy and asking me for help. And I was, Lord, what's going on here? And he was hungry. He needed something to eat. So I took him to a restaurant and gave him some food. Tried to talk with him on the way out. He grabbed some stuff off of a shelf, candies and stuff like that. I think one of those long, rolly type things. By the time I got a hold of him outside, I said, give them back to me. And he gave them back, and I took them back in. At the moment, you don't know what's going on, what you've accomplished. I didn't know what I'd accomplished. I just knew that by that experience, I was being called upon in that moment because I had had real experiences, had experienced the Lord truly experientially calling me and showing me many things. And so I had suffered enough and learned enough that in the moment I saw it and I received the grace, I turned to Him, as it talks about here in Ephesians, to act that way. I'm saying that not to glorify myself. And yes, if we brag about our righteousness before others, we lose our reward in heaven. I get that. I understand that. But maybe if I express that point in front of you as I've expressed this, I give up that reward for that thing I've just expressed to you. I give up that eternal reward because I don't care. If you get it, if you get the point now, that's more worth to me than my holding on to something that I think I might have in eternity. I want you to get it. That sacrificial love. Get the point, please. Don't look at me. That's why I give these evidences from my own life. I want you to know them. Not because I'm there, because God knows I'm way short of it in many ways. But there are some ways that I've experienced. And yes, there are some ways, many of you, I've already heard many stories from you as well. And I hope at some point the deacons have expressed, we want to have people share testimonies among you so that you can see this broader working of God among us. But we want you, I want you, I've been set apart now to show you these things, to help you to see, yes, with physical expressions, but I'm trying also to show you spiritually that there's something else to see beyond physical, beyond the wisdom of this world. The people, Romans, there's so much more. Romans 8 talks about the difference of between the two different ways of thinking, of understanding life. Romans 5, you don't need to turn there, I'll just read it out. Romans 8, 5 to 9 says, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Condition, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if, another condition, anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, is he condemned? He does not belong to him. Sounds like. And if Christ is in you, see, we're always given a choice. Do we recognize that we don't belong to him? If we do, then if Christ is in you, turn. If he's not in you, turn. That Christ could be in you. And if he is in you, through though your body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if by the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. What an awesome hope he lays out for us, even physically here. Even physically. And thanks to God through medicine, I'm able to be here and stand before you today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I believe so. In God's grace, I would be with him. It was tough to come back, and it was tougher still to become, as some of you have even witnessed in the ways I've expressed myself sometimes among you, how difficult it's been for me to adapt to being here after being so close to going on. I felt like I was dying spiritually because my health was, my body was gaining so much life. I was feeling a loss of that spiritual experience of getting closer to that full revelation. But there's so much more, and I thank God I experienced all I did for those almost 10 years. Because, wow, and if some measure of that I saw, experienced, can come through what I've said or tried to communicate to you, then I thank God for being there. And I hope that you will be able to thank God for His message given to you today, not mine. Whatever has come through from Him, not me. Many of you know it's not me. So, thank God. And may He fulfill and show you all the rest that I have to let go right now. Thank you for being here among us today, for sharing. And now, may God's awesome grace go with you, whatever circumstances, wherever your feet take you to. Know that God is with you. Just turn in your heart every moment, and you will find Him there if you wait. And be with Him, in Him, and from Him. For His glory, and for yours too, in Christ Jesus. Be free in His Spirit. Amen.